Hi, everyone. My name is Alaa Al-Qaisi. I'm a Palestinian filmmaker and playwright. I want to use this opportunity to start with a minute of silence to remember our martyrs and glorify their sacrifices. So please take your time to renew your intention and to remind yourself why we're here today. Read Al-Fatiha if you want, do your prayers, and just think about our martyrs at this minute. Because this war has to awaken us spiritually and mentally, intellectually. In every aspect, this war is awakening call. So please reflect on this war personally. Try to understand why this war is happening and how can your personal journey reflect on this war. Just reevaluate your life and think. This shouldn't just be a normal war that can just start and finish without changing ourselves inside. This war, you either choose to be in the right side of history or you choose to be ignorant and keep going with your life. And this is not what we meant to be. This is not what we're here for. Just question yourself. If you're a minority in this country and the government supports you, you have to question, because this government can't be trusted anymore. If you are a woman and you were sold feminism, you have to question it, because I don't buy their fake feminism anymore. If you're an indigenous person to this land, the stolen land that we're gathering on today, you don't need my advice. You know what happened and the bloodshed that happened on this land, and you will never trust any government. Since the war started, I and many Palestinians and people from different races and culture have been overwhelmed with everything happening, and we lost compass on what to do, what action should we take, what kind of events should we attend. And every time this energy, anger in us keeps us going, but there's no clarity. So my focus as a filmmaker is the soft power, and that's why I started to write a play and a documentary about a famous karate player. Her name was Nagham Abu Samra. I came across this story when I saw a video of Nagham's dad last year, exactly this day. This day marks the killing and the murder of Nagham Abu Samra. When I saw a video of Nagham's dad, Marwan Abu Samra, he was begging the wall to help him get his daughter, who was lying next to him in a hospital with an amputated leg, in a coma, with 10 fractures in her head. And he was showing the wall that she was a very well-known karate player. She described her as having the strongest right kick. This is who Nagham was. She had big dreams, and she achieved many dreams for her young age. She was only 24. She did her master's degree. She represented Palestine in international platforms. Her dream was just to raise this Palestinian flag on international platforms. This is woman empowerment. This is feminism. This is what we should care for, not those fake propaganda that this government has been selling us all those years. Since then, I was touched so deeply with Marwan's words, and I felt I have to connect with him. Especially that I lost my father a couple of months before the war started. I couldn't grieve my father, and I couldn't forgive this Israeli occupation for not letting me grieve my father properly. You know why? Because the Palestinian trauma triggered me even more, and I couldn't even grieve my own dad. And I connected so deeply with Marwan Abu Samra, the dad who lost two of his daughters at the same time that I lost my dad. I stopped him on social media and I found him and I told him, I want to tell you your story. I want to be your daughter. I went to Egypt and I met with Marwan Abu Samra and kept talking about Nagham and her story and her life journey, her big dreams. And you know what's the weird coincidence? And that's why I keep reminding you that this war should be awakening spiritually. You know what? Josh reached out for me a couple of weeks ago and asked me if I wanted to speak in the rally. I never spoke in the rally before. And I said, yes. Today marks the first anniversary of Nagham Abu Samra's murder. Nagham is trying to speak through me and through her dad. I spoke to her dad last night and I told him, I'm going to speak in the rally for the first time and I want to get your input. Maybe you want to say something, especially that it's very weird coincidence that I'm talking about a girl that I've been living with for the last whole year, and I was given the chance to speak in the rally on the same day of her martyrdom. And he asked, like, what time? I said, it's going to be 1 p.m. Sydney time, so it's going to be 4 a.m. your time. And guess what? Exactly 4 a.m., Nagham died. Exactly. And her dad was turned, like, he kept crying. I just couldn't believe it, that this woman is trying to speak through us. She wants to get her voice heard, even if she's somewhere that we can't see, but she can see everything. And guess what? Her dad had a dream with her. Just on the same night, she was showing him around her beautiful house. This is a reality, and what we live in is a fake world. It's a place where we are tested, and you either lose or win. You either choose to be on the right side of history or you fail, like these governments. They choose to be in darkness. And you know what? When they win, they only win if we give up. They only win if they manage to break our spirits. They only win if they can make us hateful beings, hateful creatures like them. It's okay to be angry, but you can't be like them. You can't be hateful like them. You can't let them break your spirit. You have to be the upper hand. You have to teach them love. You have to teach them compassion. You have to tell them that they're unconscious and to be patient with them until they get conscious like you. You are the conscious one. You are the hope of this humanity. So keep going. Cling together. Cling to hope. We are in the right path of history. We are going to liberate Palestine. And believe me, it's going to be very, very soon. I've been posting live videos of these rallies every week. And you can't believe it how these rallies make the Gazans feel, especially Marwan Abu Samra, my second dad. He starts crying when he sees all these numbers from different cultures, from different colors, races. They're gathering together, holding the Palestinian flags and marching in the street, free Palestine. When Marwan Abu Samra knew that I'm going to speak today, so he sent me a video that he wanted to speak to you all through the internet.
Before coming to support my people in Gaza Strip and to listen to me, I am engineer Marwan Abu Samra. I am the father of the international karate and kumite player Nagham Abu Samra, who was killed a year ago at the same time by a rocket from a plane for no reason with her sister Rozan. Nagham loved life and sport, and her hope was to form a team of girls to be champions like her, but her dream was lost. They killed my beloved and my soul Nagham, but they did not kill her memory in mind and the minds of millions of people. I hope that you will stand by Nagham Ishu and don't forget her. Thank you for all. Thank you, Allah. My love, Nagham. Believe me, I don't forget you. Never. I don't forget you. You will stay in my mind and my heart. Goodbye.
I'll just try to read very quickly a small piece that I wrote about Nagham speaking to her father from the heaven. Father, here in heaven, I see my killer in his war plane, pressing the button that is going to kill me and all the women and children around me. And just a side note, just minutes before Nagham was killed, she was making a Middle Eastern dessert called sahlab. It's made of milk, sugar, and corn flour. She managed to get those ingredients in the midst of hunger. She wanted to cheer those kids up with a small dessert. This is just minutes before she was killed. And they were seeking shelter in a building full with other families. They managed to live together for a long time. The building was divided into two sections, one section for women and children, and the other section was for men. And you know who the Israelis will target. They killed all the women and children in this building. They knew where the women and children are, and they killed them, and all the men, they still alive. So these were the last minutes of Nagham. And when I say sahlab, so you know it's a Middle Eastern dessert that she was trying to make before she and those children and women were killed. Father, here in heaven, I see my killer in his war plane, pressing the button that is going to kill me and all the women and children around me. The children to whom I was preparing sahlab, just seconds before he pressed the button. They were so eager for the sahlab, deprived of it, for long days of war. One, two, three. He presses the button. I saw the children, Father, torn to pieces, like a red apple dropped into a blender. He didn't wait for them to drink the sahlab, to satisfy their last desire, so they could die with a hint of happiness. The red mouth-watering apple, Father, do you remember it? It's lacerated. I saw his finger, Father, just before he pressed the button, and I wanted to talk to him for a moment. His side profile looked like my brother, a faint beard, dark black hair, thick eyebrows, and a distinctive mole under his right eye, just like my brother Muhammad. The issue, Father, wasn't his finger deciding my death, nor his belief justifying my killing. The issue, Father, is that he didn't see my face. He didn't speak to me and didn't ask for my opinion. He didn't ask if I wanted to die now or later. He didn't ask me which kind of death I would prefer. The problem, Father, is that he didn't see my face. I knew well that if he had seen my face, he wouldn't have pressed the button. He wouldn't have chosen darkness. God showed me, Father, just seconds before my death, how he and I were the same. Can you believe that? We were one, my killer and I, but he didn't see it. I, however, was shown by God. I wanted to talk to him, to tell him, to say, stop, wait, think for a moment, take a deep breath. Look at my face. It's the face of your sister. Look at the shredded apple pieces. They are your children. Wait, my brother, you're killing yourself. But I blame the distance, Father. He was too far away from us. He was hanging up there in the sky, and we were on the ground. In his eyes, we were shadows. Human shadows without faces or features. We had no eyes, Father, and he had no heart. He didn't know about the sahlab. He didn't know how much the children were longing for it. He didn't see the joy of five-year-old Yasmin as she smelled the cinnamon, waiting eagerly to sprinkle it over the delightful sahlab. If he had seen it, Father, he wouldn't have done what he did. He wouldn't have pressed the button if he had heard the children giggling around the sahlab spot. He might have thought twice, but he was deaf. I'll tell you a secret, Father. I visited him in his sleep. Yes, he saw me as a nightmare, but I never intended to scare him. He could feel me slipping into his dreams at night. He trembled. His heart raced. Sweat poured from his body. He wet his bed and cried hysterically. I said to him, "Don't be afraid. That's not what I'm here for. I only wanted you to see my face, my human brother. Look into my eyes and let your heart beat. Remember, don't let hatred creep into your souls. We are all one at the end of the day. Our job is to spread consciousness amongst those who lost their souls for the devil. Thank you all, and free Palestine."